Today's daf is Yuma Daf Pei Beis, and we are 21 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis, the two dots. Achal Oichlin She'ein Ru'uyin Le'achila. Before we begin, again, just to announce that the Chabura will be making a Siyum HaMasechtas Yuma Thursday, July 8th, that's Boi Bayoim in Tribeca Estates in South Fallsburg, New York. To RSVP, please email siyumdbs@gmail.com. siyumdbs@gmail.com. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Achila on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah said that if someone eat or drinks something that's not roi l'achila, so he does not violate the halacha of v'inisem es nafshoi seichem, says the Gemara. On that note, Amar Rava, Rava said, kos pilpili b'yom kippur, if somebody chews pepper, like peppercorn on Yom Kippur, potter, even though he ate, but at the same time, it's not somewhat something that's miyasev daite, it doesn't give the person yishev hadas, and on Yom Kippur, as we've seen, it's all about, do you have yishev hadas as a result of what you ate, or do you not have yishev hadas as a result of what you ate? So even if the pilpili is technically an oicho, and maybe in different worlds, we would consider eating pilpili as an achila, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's certainly not. Kos zangavil, if somebody eats ginger, b'yomi de kippuri potter, he's going to be potter. Frek de gemara kasha. Meisvei hayu remei used to say, it says in the Torah that in Eretz Yisrael, any fruit that grows from a tree for the first 3 years are not allowed to be eaten. The pasuk reads, "V'chisavoyu el ha'aretz unetatem kol eitz machol va'araltem arlosay espiryoy shalosh shanim yelochem arelim lo yechol." So the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat any of the fruit. So Rameh used to ask the following question on this pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "V'araltem arlosay espiryoy." So clearly, we're talking about a tree that bears fruit. So his question was, "Any yodeh she'eitz meichelu?" So obviously, it's an eitz meichel. Meaning, there are trees that bear fruit, and there are trees that don't bear fruit. But from the fact that it says in the pasuk, "V'araltem arlosay espiryoy," so we know already, there's no suspense, this tree is a tree that bears fruit. So, ma tamad omer, eitz meichel. So why did the pasuk have to clearly say that the tree was an eitz meichel? "Unetatem kol eitz meichel, v'araltem arlosay espiryoy." Just say, "Unetatem kol eitz, v'araltem arlosay espiryoy." And I know it's an eitz meichel, because if you're talking about fruit, obviously it's a tree that has the ability to bear fruit. So why then did the pasuk say, to teach me eitz shetam eitzay upiryoy shave? It's coming to include something that you would have thought is excluded from this pasuk. So the pasuk is talking about arlo, and it's coming to say that even something that you would have thought is not included in arlo is, what is that? Eitz machal, as in an eitz shetam eitzay upiryoy shave. So in another sugya, that would be an esrig. In our sugya, what's an example of an eitz, shetam eitzayu pirya shava, where the branch tastes the same as the fruit? Havi oimezeh pilpulin, it's pepper. And l'lametcha teaches us two things. Number one, shah pilpulin chayavim barlo, that pilpulin is chayavim barlo. And number two, the ein Eretz Yisrael chaseir klum, you see from it, Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. It's not even lacking pilpulin. And shenema, that's really based on a pasuk that says, loy sechzer kolba, that's in the psukim that talk about the shivis aminim. And at the very end, it says, loy sechzer kolba, there's nothing missing from Eretz Yisrael, even pilpulin's not missing. But the point is, we have a stira. Rava said, "Kos pilpili b'yom kippuri potter." If somebody eats pilpul on Yom Kippur, he's going to be potter. It sounds like it's not achila. And here you have in Hilchas Arla that there's an obligation of Arla even with pilpulin, which would seem to suggest that it's food, and that if somebody eats it, it would be considered an achila. So the Gemara says, like Kasha, you have to say that it's not a stira, and the way we reconcile this is by saying there's two different types of pilpulin. Habir atifta, habi abeshta. There's the moist version, and there's the dry version. The moist version is roi l'achila. That's what the pasuk was marba when it said eitz machol, that even pilpulin, moist pilpulin, are included in arla. When we say that if somebody eats pilpulin on Yom Kippur, he's going to be potter, it's talking about the dry version. Ravina asked Meremar another Kasha. I asked on what Rava said, and that is, if someone eats ginger on Yom Kippur, he's going to be potter. So Rava said two things. If somebody eats pilpul on Yom Kippur, he's potter. And if somebody eats ginger on Yom Kippur, he's potter. So till this point, we discussed the pepper portion of Rava's statement. Now we're going to discuss the ginger portion of Rava's statement. So Rav Nachman said the following: Hai hei malta. So hei malta, Rashi says, was a food that was ginger based, but it had honey and there were other things involved in it as well. So it was cooked ginger. So the halacha is like this: Tasi mi ben Hindoi, if it came from Hindoi, Rashi says, Eretz Kush, it came from Ethiopia, Sharia, you're allowed to eat it. Umavarchin and Aleh, Bayer Pri Adama, and you make a Bayer Pri Adama. So Rav Nachman was talking about this food that was made from ginger. And he said two halachas. Number one, you eat it, Bayer Pri Adama. Number two, you're allowed to eat it. Now, what's the chiddush? You're allowed to eat it because it came from Ethiopia. It's bishalakum. How are you allowed to eat it? Right? So, not the question we would have expected the Gemara to really be shtelling on, but it came from Ethiopia, so chances are it's bishalakum. So, why would you be allowed to eat it? The Teretz says it's a sugya in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, and this is really Hilchas Bishalakum 101. There are two major exceptions to the rule of Bishalakum. There are two times where we say, even if a guy cooked it, it's fine. One is when it's Nechal Kemoshah Hichah. If it's something that's eaten raw, then even if it's cooked, it's okay. The other is it's Eina Oila Al Shulchan Malachim. If it's not a chashav food, and it's not Oila Al Shulchan Malachim, it's going to be fine there as well. But the point is that He Malta, the only reason there would be no Bishalakum, argues the Gemara, is because it's Nechal Kamay Shulchai. Nechal Kamay Shulchai, I thought nobody eats ginger. So the Gemara, Gishmaksi, you see from here that ginger is something that is Rayla Achilo. So Amalei Ravina Lemarei Mas, Ravina asked Marei, how could Rava say that if somebody eats ginger on Yom Kippur, he's going to be potter? Rav Nachman said that there's no Bishalakim on ginger, must because it's Nechal Kamay Shulchai. It's something that's eaten raw. So it is eaten raw. Is it eaten or is it not eaten? So the Gemara says the same exact teretz like Kasha. Not a stira, habir, a tifta, habi abish. There's two types of ginger. There were two types of pilpulin. There's two types of ginger. And it's the same distinction. There was the moist version and there's the dry version. The moist version is roi lachilo. That's nechal kamoshu huchai. That's what they used to make the himalta from. And that's why Rav Nachman said, you're allowed to eat the himalta. Don't worry about bishalakum. The dry version, that's not roi lachilo. And that's what Rava was talking about when he said, if somebody would eat zangavila, on Yom Kippur, it'd be potter. So Rava said, if someone eats pilpli and zangavila on Yom Kippur, he's potter. So you have to read the fine print. Not all peppers and not all zangavila, but only the dry version. Tanu Rabbanan. Achal alei kanim. If somebody eats the leaves of reeds, potter. Luve gefanim. If somebody eats the shoots of a vine, he's going to be chayv. So Elohim lulve gefanim. These are the lulve gefanim that if somebody eats, he's going to be chayv. Meaning, not Elohim lulve gefanim. This is not a science course. We're not about to discover what Lulve Gefanim is. It's assumed that we know what it is, but what the Braisa is telling us is these are the Lulve Gefanim that if somebody eats on Yom Kippur, he's going to be Chayiv. Am Rab Yitzchak Migdala. He said, Kol Shaliv Levu Mirash Hashanah Ad Yom Kippur. So it's Yom Kippur right now. That's what we're discussing. So if it started sprouting for Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, meaning these Lulve Gefanim are Be'erich 10 days old, so they're considered young, roi lachila, soft, and as a result, you'd be chayv if you ate it. However, if it's any older than that, you're not going to be chayv. Kano amai, he's a kol shalosh yom. No, it's not from Rosh Hashanah to him. You keep it 30 days. Thank you, Pastor Rabbi Yisrael, the law. Och, lali, kano be yom. Pater, if luvig fanim, chayv, elan luvig fanim. The following is an example of luvig fanim. Kol shaliv levu, me Rosh Hashanah ad yom kippurim. That if it started sprouting for Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, that's the definition of luvig fanim, for which if somebody ate, he would be chayv. The Mishnah said, shasa tzir or murias potev. So if somebody would drink fish brine or disintegrated fats of fish, the halach is you would be potev. You would have thought you're chayv, because at the end of the day, you're drinking something. Kamash malan, you're potev. Now, it's going to be clear from the Gemara's discussion that the reason we think it's potter is because it's very salty. And it's because of it, the bitterness and the saltiness, that it's not roi lachilo. So the Gemara makes a diak. The Gemara says tzir and murias are super salty. That's why it's not achila. It's not a mashka. So if you eat it or drink it on Yom Kippur, you're going to be potter. But what about vinegar? Vinegar is a little less salty. It sounds like you'd be chayiv. Because if you'd be potter, even if you're eating vinegar, then tell me if you eat vinegar, you're going to be potter. So it sounds like if you eat vinegar, you're going to be chayiv. And the Gemara says, if that's the case, this is really a controversial statement. Masnis amani Rebbe. This mission is not like the sheet of the Chachamim, and it must be going according to Rebbe. The Tanya we learned to the Bais Rebbe, Yemi Rebbe says, chaymitz meshev es hanefesh. That if somebody eats chaymitz, it has the ability to be meshev es hanefesh, which are the magic words Hilchas Yom Kippur. It means it's miyasev gaiter. So if somebody eats chaimetz, he would be chayiv. So the dik's a good dik. Shasot tziroi morius is potter. Ha chaimetz chayiv. Oh, we're going according to Rebbe that old chaimetz, but according to the chachamim, it's not true. If somebody eats chaimetz, you would be potter. Zok the gemara. Dorish Rav Gidol bar Menashe mi Biri Denarash. So Rav Gidol bar Menashe, who came from Biri Denarash, that's a place. He said, "Ein halacha ke Rebbe." The halacha is not like Rebbe. So Rebbe said that chaimetz is a problem on Yom Kippur. He got up and rabbi and he said, chaimetz is not a problem. So the Gemara says something interesting. Lashana, the following year, nafti kuliyamu, mazgu v'shasu chala. Everybody came to shul on Yom Kippur with a machza, with a kittel, and with a glazel of vinegar. That's how everybody came. So the Gemara says, Shomer Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol heard this ve'ikbid. He was very upset. Amar, he said, Eimet, don't I know the Eved? I said a person needs it. He's not feeling well. Look, katchila me'amri. I never said the katchila. You should literally come to shul this way. Emer damran oporti. He said, not just that. I said a little bit. Tuva me'amri. The oil was coming. And emer damran ochai. I said only that if it's raw. But muzzle, you want to start diluting it with water, with other beverages. I never said that's okay. And therefore, Rav Gidol said that he couldn't believe the reaction of the people of Biri Denarash. If you want to see something interesting, Ayim B'Chsam Soifer, he has a beautiful pshat in the people of Biri Denarash, and he says, Pashi, read the Gemara, it sounds like it was a Hefkervelt. He says, of course it wasn't a Hefkervelt, and he says a beautiful pshat in terms of why exactly they did what they did, what the misunderstanding of what Rav Gidol had meant was. He turns it into a whole lumnus. Regardless, this next Mishnah is a classic Mishnah. So the Gemara we're about to learn is not such an easy Gemara, but at the same time, there's some very fundamental principles in Halacha and certainly in the world of Raid that come out of this next not such long Gemara. Zok the Mishnah. Hati noikos. Children. People that are not bar mitzvah. Meaning a girl that's not 12 years old and a boy that's not 13 years old. Ein ma'an anoisim b'yom ha-kippurim. So we do not force them to fast on Yom Kippur. Avil, at the same time, we are mechanech them at some point of during their maturation, even before bar and bas mitzvah, to start doing the mitzvah. When? Lefnei shana, a year before, v'lefnei shnasayim, and 2 years before. The Gemara is going to say, is it 1 year or 2 years? B'shvil shir, we give them a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah of chinuch. So this Mishnah, in short, is a mekar, it's exhibit A for the mitzvah of chinuch. There's a mitzvah that a father, maybe a mother, has to be mechanech their children to make sure that when they get older, they're going to go in the way of Hashem. So if someone that's younger than bar mitzvah is not mechuyev a mitzvah, a girl that's younger than bas mitzvah doesn't have to do any mitzvahs. But at the same time, Shlomo HaMelech said, chanoich l'nar al pi dargoy, gam ki yaskin lo yasser mimena. And this Mishnah is a makar. Hatinoikis, ein mananois of Yom Kippur. They don't have to fast on Yom Kippur. Avol mechan chanoisai, the word chinuch, lefnei shana v'lefnei shana sai. So when does the chinuch start? It starts 1 or 2 years earlier. B'shvil sheyu regilim mitzvahs. So like this, they're going to be regular mitzvahs. So before we start the Gemara, one important definition, and that is, Pasha, when you read the Mishnah, lefnei shana sounds like 1 year early. Lefnei shana sayim sounds like 2 years early. So if it's a boy, lefnei shana is when the boy turns 12. 13 is chayim medeiraisa. 12 is lefnei shana. Lefnei shana sayim would be when the boy turns 11. That's not the case. The Gemara will bring one man to Amar that holds that is what the Mishnah is saying, but to start the sugya, that's not what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says lefnei shana, it doesn't mean 1 year before bar mitzvah, but it means 1 year before Rashi refers to as samuch lepirkon. So it's 1 year before 1 year before. So 1 year before is actually 2 years before. And when we say lefnei shana sayim, it's not 2 years before bar mitzvah, but it's 2 years before samuch lepirkon, which means 3 years before. So for all practical purposes, when the Mishnah says lefnei shana, it means 2 years before. For lefnei shana sayim means 3 years before. But first the Gemara asks Akasha, what does it even mean, lefnei shana, lefnei shana sayim? 1 year, 2 years, 2 years, 3 years, but which one is it? Is it one? Or is it two? Or is it two or is it three? What's the two zmanim in the Mishnah? Frank the Gemara, hashta b'fnei shtayim mechan chanoisle. B'fnei shana mibaya. If the chinuch starts 2 years, what we're saying really means 3 years before, so why does the Mishnah have to say 1 year, which really means 2 years before? Amrav Chizdas, Rav Chizdas said, like, kash habachayla habibari. You have to say the Mishnah was talking about two different types of children. There's a child that's a healthier child, and then there's a child that's a little weaker. So if a child is healthier, you want to start it 3 years before. If the child is a little shvacher, then you push it off. You only do it 2 years before. Zok Tigmar. Amr Rafuna. Rafuna says, again, the Mishnah is talking about chinuch when it comes to tainas. And as we're going to see now, the Gemara is going to be in three statements from Amar Yoram. Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Yochanan that all discuss these same exact halachas. And then the Gemara is going to try to fit the statements of the Amar Yoram with what the Mishnah said. So we begin with Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna, Ben Ches, Ben Tes, Min Chanchen Oysoy L'Shoys. So we're going to see in a minute, Rav Huna was talking about a girl that turns 8 years old, Ben Tes, or if she's 9 years old, that's when the mitzvah of chinuch starts, but it starts l'shoyis, meaning she doesn't have to fast the whole day, but l'shoyis, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, we start the process, ben yura aleph, once the girl turns 10 or 11, mashlimim midrabanan. Then there's already a din derabanan for her to try to finish the tainus. In other words, according to Rav Huna, the obligation of chinuch starts 4 years earlier. Ben Ches u Ben Tes, Taina Shois. And then Ben Yud Aleph, she's supposed to be Mashlimit only Midrabanon. Ben Yud Beis, when she turns 12, Mashlimit Midrei Raisa. Then already she has a mitzvah to fast Midrei Raisa. And this is all Betinoikis. This is all talking about a girl. Rav Nachman said Ben Tes, Ben Yud Mechanchanois Lashois. Rav Nachman's talking about a boy. So when the boy turns 9 or 10, Mechanchanois Lashois. Ben Yud Aleph, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimit Midrabanon. When the boy turns 11 or 12, Mashlimit Midrabanon. Ben Yud Gimel, Mashlimit Midrei Raisa, Betinoik. Rashi speaks out that there's no machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna was talking about a girl, and Rav Nachman was talking about a boy. But principally, they said the same exact thing. They said that really the mitzvah of chinuch starts not lifnei shon of lifnei shnosayim, which we said means 3 years before or 2 years before. It starts a year earlier. It's already four or three. And not just that, there's two sets of chinuch. First is the set for Taina Shois, and then there's the second set, which is going to be the Hashlama, albeit Midrabanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Hashlama Midrabanan lack. No such thing as Hashlama Midrabanan. I don't know such a thing. You don't start finishing the fast until your bar mitzvah, until your bas mitzvah. There's no tkufa where Midrashi, you're not obligated to finish the fast, but Midrabanan, you are going to be obligated. So, what's the formulation? Has this word coined Rabbi Yochanan? Ben Yud Aleph, Menchan Chanois Elishois. Ben Yud Beis, Mashlim Medei Raisa. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a girl, and he said when the girl turns 10 or an 11, that's Menchan Chanois Elishois. Ben Yud Beis is Mashlimin Medei Raisa. At that point, it's going to be a Dei Raisa, and the same is going to be true with regards to a boy. It's not 10 and 11, but it's going to be 11 and 12. Zok digmar tanam. We learned in our Mishnah, Ati loike zei ma'anen oisem, b'yoy ma'kipurim, aval mechan chanoisem lefnei shonov lefnei shonosayim. So the tinoike is, we don't force them to fast. Obviously, they're not obligated to fast, but there is a mitzvah of chinuch, and the mitzvah of chinuch starts 1 year before, and 2 years before. And we said, what does it mean, one and two? We said it means two and three. And what is, what is it two or is it three, right? Which one is it? So Rav Chizkiya said, like, kashin haba chayla haba bari. A chayla starts a little bit later, it's going to be 2 years before. A bari starts a little bit earlier, it's going to be 3 years before. The question is, how does the lashon of the Mishnah fit with what the Amiram said? And the Gemara says like this. It doesn't fit in the way we explain the Mishnah. Meaning the way you read the Mishnah, when you learn it, the way Rashi explains it, the way Rav Chizda in the beginning of the Gemara seemed to explain it, the Pashit Pashit in the Mishnah, there's no way to make work. Not with Rav Huna, not with Rav Nachman, and not with Rav Yochanan. But at the same time, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan couldn't go connect the Mishnah. And as a result, they must have had at least a different understanding and had to understand the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara is going through. So Mishnah, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, I can at least read the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says lefnei shana v'lefnei shtayin, which we said means not 1 year or 2 years, it really means 2 years or 3 years. So the way you read the Mishnah is lefnei shana l'divrayim, lefnei shtayin l'divrei Torah. And the way Rashi explains is that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are going to say that the Mishnah is talking about a chayla. Now a chayla starts fasting taina shayis 3 years before he actually turns bar mitzvah. Because what was the cheshbon? The cheshbon was with Ben Tes and Ben Yud. That's talking about Rav Nachman, who was talking about the boy. So Ben Tes and Ben Yud, Mechan Chanois Elishois, Ben Yud Aleph and Ben Yud Beis, was Mashlim and Midrabana. So what was the Ben Tes and the Ben Yud? The Ben Tes is if he's a Bari. The Ben Yud is if he's a Chayla. It's a little bit tricky. So if we're talking about the Chayla, when does he start? He starts when he's a Ben Yud. So Ben Yud is when he starts. Now, there was a second phase. The second phase of the chinuch is not taina shoyz. That's the first phase. The second phase is where you're going to be mashlim midrabbanon. When are you mashlim midrabbanon? So Rav Nachman said it's ben yud aleph and it's ben yud beis. So if we focus in on a chayla, the chayla is going to start the taina shoyz when he's yud. It's ben tesed ben yud, but it's yud if the person's a chayla. And he's going to do the Ashlama with the Rabbanah, Ben Yud Aleph and Ben Yud Beis, but it's Ben Yud Beis if he's a Chayla. So it comes out that the Taina Shoyz starts how many years before the Ashlama of the Rabbanon? It starts 2 years before the Ashlama of the Rabbanon. That's the Ben Shana. That's the what the Mishnah means when it says Lefnei Shana. Lefnei Shana doesn't really mean before 1 year. We said it means 2 years, because the Mishnah's Lefnei Shana means the year that Samuch did a year. So it's really before 2 years. So it's very good. A Chayla's Taina Shoyz starts Lefnei Shana, or 2 years before this man of Ashlama D'Rabbanon, which is Lefnei Shana Zayim, which is really 3 years before when he has to be Mashlama D'Rais. It's very good. Because the Taina Shoyz starts for a boy when he's 10, it starts for a girl when she's 9, assuming chayla. If it's 9 for a girl or 10 for a boy, so that means it's 3 years before the real chiyuv kicks in. It's 2 years before the hashlama d'rabbanon kicks in for the same exact chayla, and that's the cheshbon lefnei shana lefnei shnasayim. It's 2 years before, or it's 3 years before. So even though that's not the conventional, traditional way to learn the Mishnah is talking about a chayla. No, it's not pashup zayin in the Mishnah. And what it says, lefnei shana means before the zman of hashlama d'rabbanon, and lefnei shnasayim means before the time where you have a chiyuv to be mashlim d'rais. There's a lot of information lacking in the Mishnah if that's what the Mishnah means. But the Gemara says, I hear, at the end of the day, you can make it work. You can't tell me tiyufta the Rav Huna tiyufta, or tiyufta the Rav Nachman tiyufta, because there is an alibi. There is a way to learn this Mishnah. Ela the Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's Pashup Shad? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said all there is Taina Shoyz, and Rabbi Yochanan said it starts either 1 year before or 2 years before. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no way to learn the Mishnah. The truth is, Rabbi Yochanan seems to be the best pshat in the Mishnah. Mishnah didn't say anything about Taina. The Mishnah is talking about Chinuch. Mishnah said 1 year or 2 years, which is what Rabbi Yochanan said. But the whole premise of the Gemara's cash on Rabbi Yochanan is because we think one and two doesn't mean one and two. We think one is two and two is three. So we think it's really two or three. That's the Gemara's kasha. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, but the Gemara said, thus is Abifart the Teretz. My son, Ishtayim. Samach lepirkon, or with the edit of the Vilna Gaon's Gersa, meaning it's not Samach lepirkon. Shana Ishnayim means literally 1 year before, or 2 years before, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. And if anything, Rabbi Yochanan's ma'od matim with the lashon of the Mishnah. Zok Gemara Tashma, bring it right. Tani Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Rabbi Bar Shmuel taught the following brisa. You're not ma'ana tinoikos yom kippur, meaning you don't force them to fast. However, there is a mitzvah of chinuch 1 year or 2 years samach lepirkan. So far, it sounds almost identical to what the Mishnah said, right? It's a brisa that's eerily similar to the Mishnah, but somehow the Gemara thinks there's something in the Mishnah that's a little indicative of the pshat. Meaning that you didn't see in the Mishnah that you do see in the Brisa. So Bishlam the Rabbi Yochanan Nicho, Bishlam according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's very good. El Rafuna the Rav Nachman Kasha, but according to Rafuna and Rav Nachman, it's shver. Why? Because it sounds like Mechanchin Oisoy Shano Ishnayim, and the Chinuch means Taina Shoyz. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So if Chinuch is Mashma, that it's Taina Shoyz, according to Rav Huna Rav Nachman, 1 year or 2 years earlier is not Taina Shoyz. 1 year, 2 years earlier, you have to be Mashlim Midrabbanan. Taina Shoyz really starts a year or two before that. The Gemara says, Amaloch Rabbanan, my Chinuch Namid Tani Hashlama. Wait, when it says Chinuch, it means Hashlama. It doesn't mean Taina Shoyz. It really means Hashlama. Would we describe Hashlama as with the word Chinuch? For Tani, we learned in the Braise, Ezel Chinuch. Chinuch means if you used to eat 2 hours in the day, the child, you give it three, you give four. It sounds like chinuch means time and shoyz. No, there's two types of chinuchs. Chinuch doesn't have to mean that. Chinuch means you try to train the child to do something that he's not usually used to doing. It's like this, he understands at a very young age that there's something called Yom Kippur. But does chinuch exclusively mean taina shoyz? Why should it? It can mean taina shoyz. It can mean to be mashlim midrabbanon exhale. So we're not going to focus on the chinuch from a global perspective today. But we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention that there's a very important Tosfos Yeshanim. It's going to come up in Metz Hashem and Sukkah Daf Beis, and maybe we'll talk about that next week. But for now, we're going to go weiter, and we'll get back into some of the Yom Kippur Chinuch Halachas in the Reid Bait. Zok the Mishnah weiter. Another classic Shebe classic Mishnahs. Ubra Sheiricha. So there was a pregnant woman, and the Uber, this is interesting, the fetus, the baby that's inside the mother's womb, smelled something. And because of that, it is deemed that the Uber needs the food, and the only way for the Uber to get the food is by the mother eating the food. So the question is, can we allow the mother now to eat a sandwich on Yom Kippur? Because her Uber just smelled something. So the halach is, machila noisa, yes, achatash of nafsha, till everybody calms down. Rashi says, otherwise, the mother and the child are both going to be in a state of sakana, and to make sure that nothing bad happens, that's what we're supposed to do. Says the Mishnah Chayla in general, Machilna is al pi bekiyin. We consult with doctors. Bekiyin is a Lashon Rabbim. It sounds like two doctors. We'll see more about that in tomorrow's now. Before we give the Chayla to Ethan, ancient begin, if there's no doctors, Machilna is al pi atzmai, ayachi yoyimadai. Then you can ask the patient. So the doctors have a vote. The patient has a vote. A lot more about this in tomorrow's daf. But for now, a brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, uber sheiricha basar kodesh. An uber that smelled basar kodesh. Hektish food. Food that really the mother's not allowed to eat. Oy basar chazer. Certainly the mother's not allowed to eat. Teichvam lo kush beroit. So what we do is we take a spit, a little spindle, and we put it into rotev, into the sauce of the food that the mother and the uber smelled. We put it on her mouth, meaning we don't give her a chazit to eat. We try to minimize it a little bit. If that works, mutav, that's great. Then we give the mother the actual roita. If that works, that's amazing. If not, we just have no choice, but we actually have to give her the actual. Because at the end of the day, if it's a question of saving a yid's life, we do what we have to do. Because there's nothing that gets in the way of pekuach nefesh, with the exception of the big three. Chutz mi avodah zara, v'gili arayis, v'shvichas dam. Zok the Gemara. Avodah zara minayin. How do you know that avodah zara is oimei b'pnei b'kuach nefesh? So it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't bring the makar that ein lecha davar she'oimei b'pnei b'kuach nefesh. That we're taking for granted. We're going to bring the makairis now for the three exceptions to the rule. For the chutz. Meaning, ordinarily, if it's a question of someone's life or violating one of the tayag mitzvahs, of course, we save the yid's life. But and that we're assuming is possible. There are three exceptions to the rule. And we're going to bring the source for the three exceptions. As it relates to the source for the actual halacha, so that's coming up in Metz Hashem in a few dafin on daf pehe. But for now, all we're going to have is the makar to the three exceptions. Number one, avodah zarah. What's the makar? How do you know avodah zarah does get in the way of pekuach nefesh? The tiny we learned to the Bais, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Nemer b'chol nafshecha, lama nemer b'chol meidecha." So we say in Kriya Shema, "The Yahavtas Hashem alekach." He's supposed to love Hashem b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meidecha. So b'chol levavcha means with your entire heart, your yetzahara, your yetzatayif. B'chol nafshecha, a person has to be willing to give up his life, like Rabbi Akiva said, his whole life. Kol yomei ha'isi mitzta'er, when he would have the ability to makayim this pasuk of v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol meidecha, a person has to be willing to give away his money. So the Gemara says, I understand. If it says b'chol nafshecha, why does it have to say b'chol meidecha? If you have to give up your life, certainly you have to give up your money. V'nema b'chol meidecha, v'lo v'nema b'chol nafshecha, says the Gemara, because yesh chod m'shaguf v'chav v'lo m'moine. There are people that would, if they're given the ultimatum of your money or your life, they're going to take their life. However, and that's why it says in the Pasuk v'chol nafshecha. However, there are people that see it the other way. They're people that have to think about it. And they actually like their money more than they like their guf. But what we're focusing on is the v'chol nafshecha part. That you see from here, v'yahavtas Hashem alekecha, v'chol nafshecha. So if somebody's over avodah zarah, he's violating v'yahavta. And therefore, even if it means to give up your life, but uvechol nafshecha teaches me that a person has to be prepared to give up his life for avodah zarah. So that's how you know avodah zarah is an exception. Zok the Gemara, gila raya shechus amin. How do you know gila raya shechus amin? The tiny relating to the Bais, Rabbi said, it says in the pasuk, kikashi yakum ishal reyeyu ritzochei nefesh kina davraza. So the pasuk is describing someone that was ma'anes a naira hamurasa, and the pasuk describes the ma'anes as a reitzeach. So this person who's guilty of Gili Arayis is compared in the Torah to a Reitzeach. There's a Mashal and a Nimshal. The Mashal is the Reitzeach And the nibshal is this person that's violating Gilei Arayas. And Rebbe was bothered. He said, the chima inyan lamadnu miraytseich l'naira amurasa. Right, if there's a mashal and a nibshal, the mashal has to be adding something. Like, what do I learn from reitseich in the parish of Naira Murasa that I wouldn't have known otherwise? What's it adding? It doesn't seem to be contributing anything. Hello. So Rebbe said, this is an example of Hareza Bolo Lamed Venim Tzolami. It sounds like the reason the Torah wrote Kikashi Yoka Mishal Re'eyu Ritzachay Nefesh is because Ritzayach is going to teach me something about Gilei Arayas. But it's just the opposite. Hareza Bolo Lamed, it's coming to teach, but Venim Tzolami, it's actually going to learn. And we learn something from Naira Murasa to Ritzayach. So it sounds like Ritzayach is the Melamed, Naira Murasa is the Lamed. Rebbe said it's actually the opposite. Naira Murasa is the Melamed, Ritzayach is the Lamed. Okay, what's this limud? Man, Naira Murasa, Nitan Latzila Benafshoi. Just like Naira Murasa is Nitan Latzila Benafshoi, Afroid Tzayach is Nitan Latzila Benafshoi. Just like you're allowed to kill someone that's trying to be Ma'anes and Naira Murasa, Rashi says that's Mefurish in the Pasuk. Because if you look in the Pasuk, it says that this man was harming this woman, and it says, Ein Moshiyala, there was no one there to help her. Hayesh Moshiyah, Yoshiyena, Bechol Tzidei Teshua. Lashon Rashi, sounds like a tefillah. But if there's someone there that can help, so he can do whatever he needs, so he can even kill the person. So just like the halacha is, that you're allowed to kill this ma'anes, so too with the reitzeach, you're allowed to kill the reitzeach. Zok to Gemara, and additionally, another halacha, ma reitzeach, yehorig va'al yavar, af naira murasa, yehorig va'al yavar. And just like a reitzeach is yehorig va'al yavar, so too the naira murasa is also yehorig va'al yavar. Meaning, a reitzeach is yehorig va'al yavar, so the naira murasa is also yehorig va'al yavar. So from the fact that the Torah mentions reitzeach in the pasuk with naira murasa, so we learn a halacha of Ritzicha from Naira Murasa, you can kill the Ritzeach, but we also learn a halacha of Naira Murasa from Ritzicha, and that is just like Ritzicha is Yehorig Valyavar, so too Naira Murasa is also Yehorig Valyavar. So this is the Makar now for Gilei Arayas. So you see, Gilei Arayas is Yehorig Valyavar. Now, how did we know Gilei Arayas? We learned it from Ritzicha. It's Ritzeach, move him in all. How do you know Ritzicha is Yehorig Valyavar? So the Gemara says, for that, you don't need a pasuk. Svarihi, that's Pashin, meaning you have a shiloh, whether you can kill somebody to save your own life. It's not a shiloh. Dahu, the also the kami, the rabba. Another classic Gemara. There was somebody that once came to rabba. Amalei told him, Amalei Mori Dairoi. The Puritz told me, Katle Laplanya, you have to kill Ploini. If you don't kill him, Katil Malach, I'm going to kill you. Amalei. So he said, Nak Nalach, Veloy Sikto. No, you have to let yourself get killed. You have no right to kill this person. Because my chaz is the Dama Didach, Samik Tvei. Dilma Dama Dugabra, Samik Tvei. Who said your life is any more valuable than the other person's life? And the way Rashi explains it is beautiful. It's good to see the Rashi inside. What's the whole svara that it's okay to violate an avera to save a yid's life? It's because the yid's life is more chashev even than the avera. But over here, the avera itself involves killing somebody. So meman of shach, a yid's life is going to be lost. So now it's a question of your life versus the other person's life. My chazi, who said that your life is worth more? Maybe his life is worth more. Either way, so we have the makar that avodah zarah, Gilei Arayas and Shvichas Damim are all Yehorig Valyavar, even though every Avera at the end of the day is always going to have to defer to a Yiddish Neshama, but there's three Averas that are exceptions to that rule. Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayas, and Shvichas Damim. Avodah Zarah, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha. We learn it from B'chol Nafshecha. A person has to give up his life not to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Gilei Arayas is learnt out from Ritzicha, from the fact that in the parish of Naira Murasa, we have this mashal of Ritzicha to teach me something from Ritzicha from Naira Murasa, something from Naira Murasa to Ritzicha, and Ritzicha itself, the Gemara says, that's a svara. One final Gemara. Ahu ubra de archa. There was an ubra that once smelled something on Yom Kippur. Also, look how many the Rebbe, they came to Rebbe, Amaluhu. So Rebbe told them, zilu luchushula, go whisper into the ear of the woman, that it's Yom Kippur, and see if that can somehow work. Maybe the child won't be so hungry. Maybe the mother won't feel like she has to eat. See if it works. The Gemara says, the chushula, they did this, vilchisha, and she accepted. Rashi says, pasak ha'ubra mitavasai, whatever this means, the uber didn't have the taiv anymore to eat. And kari olea, they said, regarding this woman, b'terem etzarcha babeten yidatich, that you see that the Uber, even before the Uber was born, but already Yidat Ticha, already there was some level of Yidias Hashem. And the Gemara says, you want to know who this child was? Again, this story happened with Rebbe. So Rebbe gives this Gevaldig Gebrach about this child, and nothing but Rabbi Yochanan. None other than the great Rabbi Yochanan. He Uber the Archa. There was a similar story. Also, coming to Rabbi Chanina. But this story didn't happen, Rebbe, happened Rabbi Chanina. Amaluhu. So Rabbi Chanina knew what you're supposed to do. He had the Messiah. He said, Luchushullah, go whisper. But it didn't work. The mother still wanted to eat, and the baby was still commanding. They still wanted a little bit of eat. Kari aleo. So Reb Chanina said the following pasuk: Zoru rishaim meirachem ta'u mi beten doivru chaza. That sometimes meirachem et zoru rishaim. There's an element of rishnos, and the Gemara says nafik mina. You want to know the rest of this story? Shapsoi oitzar peri. Shapsoi oitzar peri. He was someone. Rashi quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra. He used to chepa with the Yidden a little bit. He manipulated the prices and the shahr. And as a result, he made it difficult for Yidden. And this was his beginning exhale. So two ha'aris, if this time, related to today's daf. So the first ha'ara is the Mishnah on the top of that pei beis amud aleph. Hatinoikos ein men anan oise b'yom ha'kippur. A child does not have an obligation to fast. A child's not chayv in mitzvahs. As a result, there's no obligation to fast, even on Yom Kippur. Avol, however, mechanchen oisei lefnei shana v'lefnei shnosayim b'shvil shiyu regilim mitzvahs. But at the same time, there's an idea to be mechanech the children, so like this, they'll be rogel b'mitzvahs. And we saw in the Gemara, what does it mean? Lefnei shana, lefnei shnosayim, Rav Chizda, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, a little bit of a complicated Gemara. But at the end of the day, what emerges is a very simple principle. And that is that even though children are not obligated to fast on Yom Kippur, but there is a mitzvah of chinuch that relates to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. This halacha, not surprisingly, is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, in Simin Tav Reish Tav Zayin, Sivkotan Beis says, Katan ben tes shanim shleimois, u ben yud shanim shleimois, mechanchin oisai le shois. Keitzad, if the child used to eat 2 hours into the day, machilin oisa begimel, so now you give the child 3 hours into the day. Hayu rogel lechel begimel, machilin oisa bedalad, lefi koyach haben, moisifin la'anis oisa b'shois. And you try to add as many hours as this child is able to handle. V'chulu, and there's a Ramah, and there's another Ramah. But this is the halacha, it's in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, it's in Simen, Tof, Reish, Tez, Zayin, it's Sif, Cotton, Beis. The Briskerov said that if you look in Hilchas Tainus, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about all the other Tanesim, there's no mention anywhere of there being a mitzvah of chinuch to be mechanech a child for Tainus. And the Briskerov shteld, Maishna in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, where we have a sif katan in Shulchan Aruch dedicated to the halachas of Tainus Yom Kippur Biktanim, as opposed to Bishar Tainiyos, even Tisha B'Av, which has Chumris in many ways on the same level as Yom Kippur, but we don't find anywhere that there's any mitzvah of Tainus, even Tainus Shois, as it relates to a Katan. So the Briskerov said that Kanira the Pshat is, because why do we fast on a Tainus? The Rambam says in Hilchas Tainus Perakei Alocha Aleph, Yesham Yomim Shekol Yisrael Mesanabahem. There are days on the Jewish calendar where every single Yid fasts. And the reason is V'pnei Atzorei She'iru Behem. It's because of terrible things that happened to the Yidden on those days. And the purpose is Kedei Lo'oyer HaLevavois U'V'Leftoyach Tarkei Atshuva. It's all about being Ma'oyer, the hearts of the person that's fasting. And it's supposed to be a Shlissel, to open up and to start guiding a person in the ways of tshuva. The yezeh zikara in the masenu haran. And by fasting, it's going to be a remembrance for the things that we don't do that are perfect. Umayse aviseinu shahoye kemasenu ato achigorem lehem velonu oisen atzores. Shebezichrin dvarim elu. Because if we remember the things that caused all the tzores for which we're fasting, nashuv lehetiv shenema vezvadu asavoinam vesavoinam voisam. In short, the Rambam says that the reason we fast is kidei lo'oyer halevavos v'leftoyach darkei atshuva. So Maran Agris said that avada child could fast Taina Shois on Tisha B'Av and on Shavasa B'Tamuz and on Asara B'Tevis. Oh, but said the Briskerov, there's no reason for him to. Because the Iker is not the Tainus. The Iker is what the Tainus is going to lead you to. Tainus is a gateway So the Briskerov said that a katan is shayach to tainus, but a katan is not shayach to tshuva. And because he's not shayach to tshuva, so therefore there's no reason for him to fast the tainus shayach. Now why is a katan not shayach to tshuva? It's pasha, because tshuva is an avodas aleif, and a katan is not a bardas. And if a katan can't make a kinyan, so a katan can't do tshuva. So to put it in lamdasha terms, the katan is like a lo higia lechinuch as it relates to the mitzvah of tshuva. And as a result, said the Briskerov, it doesn't pass for the katan to have a tainus, even a tainus just. It's true the katan can fast, but it's not about the fasting. The fasting is all what we do. But the ikar is the tshuva. And being that a katan is not shayach to tshuva, he's loyi gia lechinuch as it relates to tshuva. It's above his pay grade. As a result, there's no reason for the katan to fast. But said the Briskerov, this Rambam is true for all the tiniest, with one exception. With the exception on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we fast not kidei lo oyer alavavis v'leftoyach darkei atshuva. On Yom Kippur, we fast while stating the Torah v'nisim as nafshei seichem. Because it says ta'anu as nafshei seichem. Because it says v'an nefesh aso loisuna. We're not being derish time in the crop. The Rambam was explaining the rabbinic institution of fasting. It says, why did the Rabbanan say, because today Samikdash was charev on the ninth day of fast. What's one have to do with the other? So why are we fasting? Rambam, because by fasting you're going to be ma'ir and halavavos, and you're going to be paiseach darkei hatshuva. That's all very nice when it comes to understanding why the Rabbanah did what they did. That's a din deraisa. It says in the Torah, you can't say it's kidei la'ir halavavos v'leftoyach darkei hatshuva. It's because it says in the Torah, a cotton could do v'nisim esnaf shayseichem, can't do it fully, he can only do tainus shayis, and there's a difference between a chayla and a bari, and maybe 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and a boy and a girl. Good, that's the sugya, that's pei beis amen out, the first half of the yomim. But the point is, there's a mitzvah chinuch when it comes to v'nisim esnaf shayseichem. There's no mitzvah of chinuch, said the Briskerov, when it comes to shayar tainios, and this is all in line with some of the raid we've been talking about the last few days, the theme of the last parak in Masechtas Yuma, and that is that there's a fundamental difference between achila on Yom Kippur versus other macholis hasuris. Is a fundamental difference between the tainus on Yom Kippur and the tainus of Shar Tanesim. That's what the Briskerov said. I saw in the Sefer Yoreach LeMayadim from the Reshiva Shlita, Rabbi Yeruchim, so in Simon Lamid Zayin, and this is Chelik Beis of Yomim Neiron, he asks another kasha, and that is, the halacha is that a katan, even though he doesn't have an obligation to fast, but at the same time, there's something called tainus shayos. Something called tainus shayos. So Rabbi Yeruchim Shtels, he says, what is tainus shayos? He says, I understand. If you have a child that can take dalad minim, but he can take two of the dalad minim, is there a mitzvah to give him two of the dalad minim? He says, of course not. The mitzvah is to do the mitzvah. And if the katan could do the mitzvah, he's higia lechinuch, give him the mitzvah. If he can't do it, so then he can't do it. But what does it mean you be mechanech the child to fast for 2 hours? If a yid fast for 2 hours and Yom Kippur is chayif karis, so you weren't really mechanech him to do the mitzvah. This is chanoich l'nar api darke gamki yaskin liyosmi mena. So like this one day he's going to be a little bit older, he'll know that you can't eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He has no pshat. He says, chinuch means you have to mechanech the child to do the mitzvah. He's not doing the mitzvah. Say you're fasting 2 hours. 2 hours is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to fast. So if he's not doing the mitzvah, the whole concept of tainus shayos would seem to be dead on arrival. That's the ha'ara from Rabbi Yeruchim. So Rabbi Yeruchim said that the emes is, it's tali, in a tremendous chakira, and really a tremendous machloikis achroinim, as it relates to understanding the mitzvah of ta'anus nafshei seichen, v'nisem es nafshei seichen. The Oruch Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, was asked the following question, and it's in Shailos Hatshuvas Binyan Tzion, it's in Simen Lamed Daled. There was a chayla sheyesh by sakana, and the doctors said that this person has to eat. This person has to eat. So said, Chlut, Rabbi Yaakov Vetlinger, once the chayla sheyesh by sakana eats, at that point, do we say, all bets are off? He didn't fast on Yom Kippur, and because he didn't fast on Yom Kippur, so he's allowed to continue eating. Now, maybe not with katchila, but at the same time, the issa d'oraisa of v'nisim esnaf shayseichem, the chi of karis that one has if he eats on Yom Kippur, that person's not going to have. because he already broke his tainus. Or do you say, no, he broke it to the extent he was a right, he was allowed to break it. But beyond that, maybe he's not allowed to eat, just like someone who didn't break his fast is not allowed to eat. So said the Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, what's the shaila? The shaila is when it says in the Torah, ta'anu es nafshei seichem. Does that mean there's a mitzvah to be in a state of inui, me erev ad erev? So that means you have to fast literally the entire yom. And if you break the fast at some point, siyum mevatel the mitzvah. Or is the pshat, ta'anu es nafshei seichem is b'chol rega v'rega. Every second, every minute of the day, you have an obligation to fast. Says Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, this is the nafkamina. If there's one mitzvah of ta'anu es nafshei seichem, the mitzvah is to fast me erev ad erev, which is really what the pasuk says. V'nisim es nafshei seichem betishol ha'chodesh bo erev me erev ad erev tish b'shtu shabbatchem. So if that's what the mitzvah is, to fast me erev ad erev, so once you break it, once you didn't fast me erev ad erev, so it's done. So at this point, that's not a chiyuv karis anymore. Again, midrabanan, maybe there's good reasons to assume the person shouldn't just now treat it as a yom chah. But from a deraisa chayvik krisis perspective, the mitzvah was to fast me erev ad erev. He didn't fast me erev ad erev. Now, he was allowed to not fast me erev ad erev. He was a chayla sheyach by sakana, b'seidim, at the end of the day, he didn't fast me erev ad erev. If, however, tanu snaf shiseich amiz b'chol rega v'rega, there's going to be another mitzvah. So if that's the case, says the Aruch Laner, it's very nice. He was mevatel ta'anu es nafshei seichem now. But at the same time, to the extent that for the rest of Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to be mevatel the ta'anu es nafshei seichem, he now has again a chiyuv d'oraisa of ta'anu es nafshei seichem with a chayvei krisos, and the halacha should be that he should not be able to continue to eat. So says the Aruch Laner, after a whole tshuva, that what he thinks the pshat is that really it's one mitzvah. He thinks it's one mitzvah. But he says, avo ma esa, what should I do? Sha toisvis lois sviru lehu kein. Toisvis, I have a raya, didn't hold that way. And then he brings his whole raya from toisvis, ayin sham, ubashna loima tasi chayla gazeh. I mean that I didn't find anyone that says not like toisvis, tsaruch lochesh ledevreim, I think we have no choice, and we have to listen to what he said. And says the Aruch Laner, there's a huge nafkamina la'alacha. He says, because if that's the case, if you're a Rav and you're going to be mata someone to eat on Yom Kippur, he says, you really have to be careful. You have to make sure that you allow him to eat what he's allowed to eat, but not any more than he's allowed to eat. V'lachin, tzarech l'shar b'achilas chayla b'yom Kippur, sh'loy l'hachiloy, bein kashir sh'yesh b'yisr karis, u'bein pachas mikashir sh'alkoponim asam in ha'teira, rak ma'sha maspik lo yitzia, misafik sakonis nefashis. You can't give him more. Meaning, if you say once the person eats, there's no tainus anymore, midai rice, okay, so anything that happens after that, is the rabbana maybe, you could be meko. But if you tell me, ta'anus nafshay seichem, is b'chol rega v'rega, every second there's a ta'anus nafshay seichem, so you better be very careful before you allow a chayla to go ahead and eat. And he says, the kasha ma'il l'sharkin, it's very hard to do, etc. And he says it's a very difficult thing to do. So he says, as a Rav, he says to tell someone that you're a chayla sheyesh by zakana, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, that's not so complicated. Al derech haklal, he says, that's very easy. A doctor signs off on it, it's not such a big deal. But he says, al derech haprat, to figure out how much food he needs, because the second he eats more than he had to eat, he again violated Tanus Nafshei Seichem. He says, that's very serious. That's very chum. The Bir Halacha in a place brings this binyan tzin. But this is what the binyan tzin says. That when it says in the Torah, Tanus Nafshei Seichem, even though it would be very tempting to think that it's one long mitzvah, but really it's mavur from a Tosfos, not that way, that Tanus Nafshei Seichem means Bechol Rega Verega. And every single second, really, it's a separate mitzvah. As I state in Binyan Tzion, Yeshua Yaakov in his Pirush and Shulchan Aruch, and this is in Hilchas Yom Kippurim, it's in Simen Tov Reish Ches. So he discusses what happens if somebody becomes Bar Mitzvah on Yom Kippur. Somebody was born on Yom Kippur, he becomes Bar Mitzvah on Yom Kippur. So the truth is, there's a Shaila, when does a person become Bar Mitzvah? You become Bar Mitzvah at the beginning of the day that you were born, or is it Me'es La'es? It's the minute that you were born. So if somebody's born at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, on Yom Kippur. So does he become Bar Mitzvah by Kol Nidre, El Yom Kippur? I would mean he wasn't born until the next day. I understand, but that's the day that he was born. Or maybe it works for Me'es La'es. It says the Yeshua Yaakov, that L'Cheret Poshet to him, that if somebody was born on Yom Kippur, And if you go like the shittas that hold, that the way you cheshbin yom hoyledes, as it relates to mitzvahs, not just with regards to happy birthday, but as it relates to mitzvahs, when you chayv a mitzvahs, when you turn 13. So if it works based on the eis la'eis, so what happens if this person becomes bar mitzvah 5 o'clock on Yom Kippur? So what's the look? Do you have to fast? He says, Pashi doesn't have to fast. He says, why not? He says, because the mitzvah is ta'anu es nafshei seichem. It's a mitzvah of fasting mei erev ad erev. And being that this person became bar mitzvah in the middle of the day, see, obviously he wasn't fasting at the beginning of the day. So if he wasn't fasting at the beginning of the day, so fafalim the tainis. So if it's fafalim the tainis, so it's not negeya. Now it's clear the issue is Yaakov didn't hold like the Binyan Tzion's maskana in his tshuva. Because if he held like the Binyan Tzion in the tshuva, that every single rega, there's a new mitzvah of tainus nafshei seichem. So you can dig zech now with the issue as Yaakov is saying. Enochinami, he wasn't chayiv by kol nidre, but 5 o'clock in the afternoon he became chayiv. So now you have a mitzvah of tainu. The teretz is, like he says clearly, because tainus nafshei seichem is not a mitzvah b'chol rega v'rega, but rather it's one general mitzvah. The bottom line is what we have over here is a fundamental chakira as it relates to the mitzvah of tainus nafshei seichem. Is it one mitzvah of ta'anus nafshei seichem that goes me erev ad erev? Or is there a mitzvah to fast b'chol rega v'rega? L'may nafkamina? We just spoke out 2 nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be a chilat sheyesh by sakana who was told that he needs to eat. Does he have a chiyuv d'oraisa to continue to fast? Or once he was mevatel ta'anus nafshei seichem, because he had to take one bite into a sandwich, so it's not me'erev ad'erev anymore, so at this point, he's not going to be chayim ad'erais anymore. Oye shloimar, another nafkamina would be if somebody becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the day. So does he have a mitzvah d'eraisa now to go fast the rest of the day? If it's one mitzvah, then no. If it's a mitzvah b'chol rega v'rega, then maybe yes. I said, Rabbi Yeruchim, we have a sugya of chinuch when it comes to fasting on Yom Kippur. And what's the chinuch? Taina shoyz, and that's the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Kippurim. Simen Tov Reish Tez Zayin Siv Katan Beis. And the shaila is, it doesn't make sense. Chinuch for taina shoyz. Chinuch is if the kid could do the mitzvah. He can't do the mitzvah. So he said, Meiridik, if the mitzvah is like the Yeshua's Yaakov, the mitzvah is to fast Mei Erev Ad Erev. So you're right, you're doing a halba mitzvah. So if you're doing a halba mitzvah, what's the point of fasting a half a day? But if the mitzvah is Taanu B'chol Rega V'Rega. Oh, if it's tanu b'chol rega v'rega, so then you're not doing a half a mitzvah. Then really what you're doing is a full mitzvah. Because every rega is its own mitzvah. So every shah of tainus on Yom Kippur has value. So ta'anu is nafshei seichem b'chol shah v'shah actually has value. And if that's the case, lefi the maskana of Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger in his Binyan Tzion, and by the way, it's also in the Aruch Lanerim, Masechtas Krisos, daf yud ches ayin sham, it's miyushev, Kimin Heitev, a beautiful understanding as to why it would make sense to have a tiny choice on Yom Kippur.